Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. You know, one of the things that's been really challenging about reporting on Haiti has been getting specific numbers. We don't know the number of actual deaths in Haiti. I mean, different outlets have reported 500 and more. Some outlets are up to 1,000. We don't know roughly how many people have been left homeless or how many people are struggling to get the basic medical supplies and food. We simply know that parts of rural Haiti were devastated, and the deeper we go into those areas, our worst fears are going to come true, probably. If you have family or friends in Haiti, what has it been like to communicate with them? And have you been able to connect with them? Have you been able to get any information? Now, because of Pledge Drive, we're not going to be able to take any calls, but we want to hear your thoughts and your stories. You can tweet us at WLRN. You can find our Facebook group on facebook.com/groups/TheFloridaRoundup. And again, share with us what your experiences have been like. I do want to mention that our reporter, Rowan Morgarity, is in Haiti, and we've been trying to connect with him to talk to him about what he's seen. And unfortunately, the connections have been, well, just really rough and difficult to keep for more than a couple of minutes. So we didn't get a lot from him, but he has been reporting on the ground there and will be there for a couple more days. But joining me in studio is David Adams of Univision. And David, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
When I mentioned that, how difficult it is, I mean, you know, I've covered a lot of different natural disasters as well. It usually is difficult because there's still just a lot of territory that hasn't been covered, and you're going to hear all kinds of things from government officials to relief support to, you know, everybody. And so nobody has an exact figure. We really don't know everything that's happened there.
Well, that's true. And you know, unfortunately, Haiti right now has an interim government, so it's a pretty fragile institutional system that they have in place. It's obviously never great, even when they have a proper government. And this did hit, the Hurricane Matthew did hit a very rural part of the country, the Southwest Peninsula, which is one of the sort of lesser known regions of Haiti. There is a pretty good municipal structure in place in those towns, but obviously they lost communications, they lost electricity. We were able to get through with text messaging for a while until people's batteries ran out. I have to say the digital, the cell phone companies, particularly Digicel, they managed to get their antenna towers up and running pretty quick. So it has improved a lot. But as you say, calls don't tend to stay long.
I think one of the interesting things about at least the reporting that I've been hearing over the last few days, over the past week, about Haiti has been Haiti relief. And look, this is a nation that was hit not that long ago by a horrible earthquake. And so now they're dealing with this, the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew. And we remember after the earthquake, there were all of these groups, countries, everybody trying to come together to bring relief to Haiti, to bring food, supplies, medical supplies, money, and everything. And it seems almost like some of the Haitians on the island, but also Haitians living here in Florida, were not very happy with the way things went after the earthquake. And they don't want it to happen again now.
Well, you know, often things get painted in black and white terms, whereas in reality, there's a lot of gray. You know, things perhaps weren't quite as bad, and agencies that have been criticized weren't quite as bad as some people have said they were. I'll give you an example, the Clinton Foundation, that's taken a lot of heat for what it did in Haiti. And the real picture isn't anything like as bad as people have painted. The Clinton Foundation did a lot of very good work in Haiti, worked with some some of the best groups in Haiti. But there were obviously huge failings, and in large part because of the enormous obstacles that groups were facing. And I think it's very important to remember that despite the criticism one hears about the large international agencies, there are a huge number of smaller, often volunteer groups working all over the country. You don't hear very much about them, but if you look on the internet and you Google, you'll be amazed at how many incredible organizations there are. I'll give you one example. Les Anglais, the little town on the Southwest Peninsula where Hurricane Matthew, actually the eye, hit Haiti. Most people have never heard of Les Anglais. I'm British, and that means English, Englishman in French. I'd never heard of it. And I had no idea that there's an extraordinary group working there called Earth Spark, that have installed solar power in the town. And thanks to them, they're able to get power back up.
You know, something interesting, though, it's true that it is very gray when you look at what really happened. And even 6-7 years later, there's still some questions. But it's looking at attitudes. It seems like the attitudes are, at least with some Haitians that we've heard from, is that there's a distrust. We heard, for example, this one, again, right after the hurricane, we had heard from one Haitian American, actually, about how they feel about some of these large groups.
The last time, it was very, oh, you little Haitian American groups, you're so nice, but you don't have any real money. Let the big guys do it. And we listened. So all these big organizations, we were looking for them to do these great, fabulous things and save us. And they didn't. Haitians people say belle fleur sans odeur, beautiful flower with no scent.
And also went on to make a statement about some of the attention that even celebrities were giving to Haiti.
We learned our lesson. They've taken enough of our money. So is, what's that guy's name, Sean Penn? That whole crew needs to stay away from Haiti, okay?
So what you're hearing is this distrust. You know, from the big groups, the Red Crosses and the Clinton Foundation and even celebrities like Sean Penn. I don't know. I'm just getting the sense that a lot of them are like, this time it's got to be on our backs to do this.
Well, no, it's true. There is tremendous distrust, and some of it is well deserved. That's a beautiful expression the lady had about belle fleur sans essence. And a lot of things did smell or look good and didn't smell so good after. I will say that if Sean Penn hadn't set up his relief camp on the Pétionville golf course, a lot of people would have gone without shelter for those crucial early months. It did, you know, he came in for criticism mostly because he tried to find places, permanent places, for those people to be moved to, and that got complicated because land is a huge issue in Haiti. You find competing titles for land, very, very difficult to establish property rights. And his project came a bit unstuck over that. But the work that he did was extremely valuable early on.
I'm wondering about infrastructure within Haiti. You know, after the earthquake, and as you mentioned, it's true, they were supposed to have an election this past week, but that obviously is being pushed back and they're on an interim government. But I'm wondering if the infrastructure in Haiti got any better after the earthquake, or at least preparation for a storm or any other disaster, and of course, post-work. Has any of that gotten better? Do we see any of that on the ground right now, that they're handling it better than the earthquake?
Well, you know, actually, it's a very good point you raise, because there's only one road from Port-au-Prince out west to Lékaï and on to Jérémie being a particularly badly hit town. That road was rebuilt with the earthquake money, and as a result, it got badly damaged. Two bridges were washed out as a result of Hurricane Matthew, but they got it back up and open pretty quickly, and that road was in a much, much better position to withstand Hurricane Matthew, thanks to the work that was done on it after the earthquake. So, yes, I mean, I think there has been some infrastructure improvements in Haiti. The airport, for example, in Lékaï, which had been pretty much closed and dormant, had also been renovated, and so it's become a very important logistical point for supplies being dropped off and delivered and distributed to the southwest.
So what's changed also in the way different groups, whether you have someone like the UN coming in or the U.S. government coming in? I know that there were going to be helicopters and even, I don't know if it was troops, but folks here from the U.S. going down to help in relief. Then you have the big organizations. You have one of the organizations you had mentioned a while ago, any nonprofit, really. How does that work? Do just people can just show up and start doing whatever it is they're going to do to try to help people? Or is this going through the government? Is this like an NGO? Are they going through the government to coordinate all of those efforts?
I think the real aid experts will tell you, don't try and reinvent the wheel. And like I said, there are an extraordinary number of excellent small organizations on the ground in Haiti. And the best way to help Haiti is to help them. If you you want to give money, you want it to be tax deductible, right? So give it to a U.S.-based organization so you get your tax deduction that is working directly with a Haitian organization, and send money. that is the fastest way to get help
into
Haiti.
Not supplies, money. No,
because the hurricane hit the most agriculturally productive area of Haiti. The southwest is the breadbasket of Haiti, produces 30-40% of the food for the entire country. They are going to have a shortage of food, so they will need food imported. But it takes time to load up a container with food in Miami or wherever and ship it and get it through customs in Haiti. There is food in Haiti right now in warehouses. If you can find an organization that can go and buy that food, as there are groups in Miami who've been doing, and then renting trucks and driving around the country delivering that food, that is going to be faster than giving money to a large international aid agency. I should also mention Food for the Poor. They're based here in South Florida. They've been very quick off the mark. They had food in Haiti ready to be distributed, and they've been doing an amazing job getting food out to the southwest too.
I wondered if I could ask you this too, and because I don't want to forget the fact that the storm also hits parts of Cuba and caused a great deal of damage. But what do we know about what relief efforts for Cuba? And of course, that being, you know, a very different country ruled by a very different kind of leader, what's it been like there? What do we know anyway about what happened in the eastern part of the island?
Well, there was some very good reporting done and video footage that came out of Baracoa in the southeastern tip of Cuba very early on. Astonishing scenes of destruction in Baracoa, which is a beautiful old colonial city with very close ties to St. Augustine in Florida. It looked really bad because there was rubble and on the streets and buildings torn to pieces. But it appears that the destruction was in a fairly limited area. The Cubans are only talking about, I think, 50 homes destroyed. There have been some question marks raised over whether the Cubans are downplaying the scale of the disaster. There have been no casualties, no deaths reported. The Catholic Church, which obviously in Cuba, particularly with the restoration of relations between Cuba and the United States, has a very good network in place and has been through Caritas and Catholic Relief Services. They've been doing, you know, a phenomenal job working in Cuba.
And in 30 seconds or less, real quickly, again, just to remind any folks here, if you're thinking about giving to any organizations, because you just mentioned it, but just as a reminder, for Haiti relief, the best way to go is, again, to send money, but look for
a local organization in Haiti that's being supported by an American organization.
All right, again, talking about Haiti and Haiti relief and just overall what anybody here can do to help folks in Haiti after the devastation of Hurricane Matthew. David Adams, again, with Univision. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Luis.
All right. Again, that's the program. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and listen today. And we couldn't take your calls, but again, you can always share your stories, your thoughts, and anything that we talked about. You can always find us, the Florida Roundup, on Facebook. Now, because it is Pledge Drive, I want to just take a moment and say thank you for your support to all the programs that you love here on WLRN. Maybe it's this one. And we're asking you to pledge your support again to keep these kind of programs on the air, because if you didn't have it, well, you know what your life would be like. Let me turn things over to Carolyn Brader-Watts and Peter Mertz.